Well, good morning, everyone, and a most happy, holy, and safe COVID Christmas to all of you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please just turn around to the people nearby and just wave and say and call out, the Lord be with you and also with you. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. And to those listening to us online, very happy, holy, and safe Christmas to you and your family from Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome to St. Andrew's. If you're new or visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. Please make yourself known to us during the end of the service today. We'd love to follow you up and welcome you. Now, today is the first time we will have the Lord's Supper together since Easter, and even that one was online. And so there's just a matter of just a way in which to show you how to use the little individual cup and wafer that you've received as you've come in. If you've not got one already, just put up your hand, and I'm sure Stuart will bring the plate out and you can take one with you. So you'll notice if you just take that up into your hands now, because it's not as easy to do. You'll notice that there are two little lips on the cup itself. There's a clear plastic top. If you don't do it now, wait till the service comes. All right, we'll peel that one off, and underneath will be a wafer. And I'll invite you to take of that wafer and remember our Lord Jesus. And then, after a pause, you peel back the thicker lip, and carefully doing that, it's not as easy as the top one, and underneath will be the grape juice that's there. And I'll invite you to drink that all together and remember Christ's blood shed for you. Janice has been conveniently thinking ahead and given to each of you a serviette just in case we have an accident, all right? So please, if you need just to think about that now, you can do that, because in our service time we'll be using the individual cups. Once again, welcome. Our musos today are Rosemary, Linda, and Fiona, and we're very grateful that they're able to sing to us today. Unfortunately, we all have to wear our masks today, except for us who are leading up the front. So, and you can't sing, but you can certainly dance on the inside, all right? And sing your heart's content inside. But you at home, listening in, or you too, you can sing along, and please do, sing along with the carols as we remember and give thanks to God for sending his son Jesus into the world. And so we're going to begin by hearing a very familiar carol sung to us to start with, and that's O Come, All You Faithful. This carol is to invite Christian people to gather together and to give thanks to God for the birth of his son Jesus.
Come,
thanks singers. Father God, we do indeed come and worship you this morning. We do adore you, Christ the Lord, born this happy morn. We remember for our salvation. And as we come before you now, Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer. And so I invite you all now to join with me in this prayer as we gather together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Together, Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite Janice now to come and read to us from God's word. But before we do, I'll pray. Loving God, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible. You've given to us your Holy Spirit. He guides us into truth concerning you as we hear your word read. And so may we experience his guiding us in truth today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Janice.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, once again, welcome to church, and we open the scriptures together, and we here at Abbotsford Anglican have been thinking about why these stories of the Christ child are in our Bibles and recorded in the Gospel. And today we're thinking on the topic, here, or before we do, we're going to actually, we'll go straight to my sermon, and then we'll come back to that. And today we're thinking about the time came for the Christ to be born, and he was. And it's from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. So if you have a Bible handy nearby, on your phones, or if you brought one with you, that is great. Or if at home, open up your Bibles to it, to chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Well, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, that the time came for the baby to be born. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn, and it was a son. It's one of those memories a parent never forgets, the birth of a child, especially the mother. I can remember all three of our children born to my wife, Rosemary, each very different and each very special. I can remember the day when we found out we were expecting each. The excitement, the wait that followed, the expectation. And I can remember when the time came for each to be born. The time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. The time came, records Luke, for the Christ to be born, and he was. It's Christmas, and I don't know how it is with you, but Christmas seems to come on quicker and quicker every year. Is that true for you? Yes, sure is, isn't it? Maybe it's got something to do with beginning a little bit older. And here we are again, it's the end of another year, and what a year it has been. It's unfortunate that we can't join with our singers this morning and with others around Sydney and throughout the world for that matter, and sing the carols. But it's wonderful to hear them sung. Thank you, ladies. Did you know that the very first Christmas carol was the song of the angels at Bethlehem at the birth of Christ? "Do not be afraid," said the angels. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Christmas reminds us of the coming of our Saviour, the birth of Christ. And we gather today with millions throughout the world, whether we might be here or at home, online, listening in, to remember that and to say thank you. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Indeed, Matthew in his Gospel records that the name the angel had told Joseph to give to God's child born to Mary was to be Jesus, because he would save his people. Christmas reminds us of the coming of a Saviour, our Saviour, the birth of Christ. Jesus is that Saviour. But why are we Christians thankful? Why is thankfulness the response Christmas evokes in each one of us? Well, a Saviour is only of any value if we are in a predicament from which we believe we need saving. Ask that of someone who is drowning. But if we aren't aware of being in a predicament, then we're not aware of any need to be saved, let alone be afraid. And so people may well say to us, what's so important about the birth of the Christ child? Why be thankful at Christmas? Well, Christmas reminds us of an event of history of no other kind or magnitude of its like, the birth of God's Son, where angels went to great lengths to record for future generations, and eyewitnesses for future generations recorded the certainty, like Luke did in his gospel, even some willing to die, that it came about. The message of salvation. That message is found and the reason for our thankfulness in the words of the angel, first to Joseph and then to the shepherds. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Sin is an unpopular topic, and most people switch off now when it's mentioned. But sin has a lot to do with Christmas. In fact, sin is the reason for Christmas. Sin is our nature, our selfish attitude towards God, others, and ourselves. It's observed and proven in our behavior, whether passive or active. It's observed in the way in which we think, in our values, in our beliefs, in how we relate to others. It's that nature, if honest with ourselves, we know is self-preserving, self-promoting, seeking what is of first importance to us, that which motivates my thoughts, our thoughts, our values, our actions, whether for good or not, towards God, others, and ourselves. A sociologist would not give a theological reason, nor should it, nor use the word sin, but I gather may simply agree that such is our raw nature, reflected in our attitude and behaviour towards others, and enables us to strive, survive, and thrive. Be that as it may, through time and history, God has cried out to the world in his word and told people at every stage that our nature, our sin, separates us from him, and all that is good and wise and loving forever. And the reason why we cannot take of the tree of life and life forever here with each other, that we need to actually die. No one is righteous. No, not one, writes the scriptures. God cries out to us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. All are destined to die once, then to face judgment. Without the intervention of God in providing a solution, we, if only for this life, have the privilege of God's presence and providence. But Jesus, God, saves people from their sins. Jesus has saved us. God has intervened. God has provided a solution, and we Christians are thankful. Thankful because he became one of us, born of Mary. But not to stay a babe, but to grow into a man. Take on himself our sin and its consequences, voluntarily and willingly, and provide the solution of forgiveness and reconciliation in his death on the cross and resurrection. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and me to God. This is why we have an empty manger at Christmas. So to focus not on the babe, but on the cross and our sin for which he came to save us from. The essential message of Christmas is this: whether we realize it or not, We are in a predicament from which we cannot save ourselves. We ought to be afraid, as the shepherds were, rightly afraid, as sinners like ourselves at the time, surrounded by the glory of God. But a Saviour has come, Jesus. And the message of the angel was, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We Christians are thankful because God has intervened and provided a solution. God has taken us seriously and done something about it for us. If this doesn't mean much to people, then plainly the message of Christmas has not been explained clearly to them. Or if it has been, it's not been understood or wanted to be heard. Christmas remains for them a season of goodwill, family reunions, everyone getting on with each other, presents, Santa, the cricket, a yacht race when it's able to be on, and parties. All of the above can be ours too. But Christmas for the one who is saved is much more to them than just that. The message of Christmas is that our Saviour has come to save us from our sin. Friends, there are only two groups of people in the world, sinners and forgiven sinners, though I was told on one occasion by one person that there is a third, those who have not sinned, of which I asked them, who else apart from themselves would he include in that list? Christ came to transfer us from the first to the second at his expense. A time came for the Christ to be born. And, brothers and sisters, he was. God always keeps his promises. We can be certain of that. Christmas leads us to reflect not on a myth or legend, but on a historical event, on the reality of God taking us and our situation seriously, coming to our rescue and becoming one of us, as promised. On the certainty of our mortality, we reflect, and on the righteous judgment and benevolence of God who acted in history to save us and fill us with thankfulness, joy, and a peace that passes all understanding. No wonder then that the Christmas message is one of great joy, because the message of the angels at Christmas is that Jesus is our Saviour, on whom his favour rests, bringing forgiveness of sin, friendship with God forever, peace and joy to those who, like the first shepherds and ourselves, have looked for his salvation, found it, and received it with thanksgiving. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, it has always been your plan to become one of us in Christ, to save us, and to grant us the certainty of that salvation. Grant us the grace to live accordingly with assurance that as sure as you came the first time to save, you will come a second time to fulfill all things and bring us to yourself. Everlasting thankfulness and joy and peace are now found in Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Would you stand with me and let's say what we believe in the words of this statement of belief the Christians have said down through the ages, and then our singers will come forward and lead us and sing us our next carol. What do we believe together? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen, We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Just been reminded of the angel's message, and so we sing this lovely carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, as they come and they worship and they remind us to worship Christ our King. A bit of a technical hitch here.
We're now going to spend some time in prayer, praying for Christmas, for the world, ourselves and others. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In love, God had this plan to save and redeem people, to bring them back to Him. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes seasons and times. He gives wisdom. We all fall short, as we've heard this morning in the message brought to us. But God, in your infinite wisdom, you had a plan to bridge the rift between man and yourself. Such love has God for His creation, that He gave us His Son. We come now, Heavenly Father, bringing before you cares and concerns of this world. Almighty and ever-living God, sovereign over all, we come to you as we need your help with the confusion and difficulties in this world. We ask particularly at this time, which is unlike any other Christmas around the world, that you would prosper the work of those seeking vaccines for COVID-19 and that authorities will be able to make wise decisions for the people. May those in isolation and their family and friends find comfort at this time in particular. May you help the medical staff and carers, give them renewed strength and stamina and protection from the virus, as they continually work to help others. Help us all here in Australia, the world, every state, to follow guidelines for the social distancing and protection for the good of all. We ask in your mercy that the virus cease to restore harmony and health to the nations. But amongst this, O Lord, may the nations turn to you. We also pray for those who govern us here in Australia, premiers, chief ministers, prime minister, for their courageous leadership and national cooperation across states and territories. Grant them wisdom in their decisions as they navigate the threats to lives and livelihoods. We also pray for our police force, our emergency services and defence force personnel as they seek to maintain order in our country. May all Australians respect their work, accept the limitations on our freedoms and seek the welfare of others for the good of all. O Lord, we also pray for those families who have lost loved ones to this disease, or those suffering from its effects. May they know the peace that passes all understanding. May we too keep that peace in our hearts, O God, as we put our trust in Jesus. And may your people around the world stand firm, be calm in your strength and by your wisdom, to reach out to others in love, to support others amidst this terrible situation, and keep us, O Lord, in prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this particular time, O God, we think of those who are believers and faithful to Jesus, and for what he's done for them. Lord, the persecuted in many lands across the world. This time of year is especially difficult and especially dangerous for them. We ask, O Lord, that you would sustain them in their faith. Help them to stand firm. May their lives be a witness to those around them, and that they may be able to meet during this Christmas season to celebrate the birth of Jesus without interference or harm. May the pastors be encouraged as they preach the word of Christ and find joy and comfort in you. May all those persecuted and finding difficult being faithful to you, Lord, may their physical and spiritual needs be met, and that those who persecute them find faith in Jesus Christ. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, your love for all creation is relentless and wonderful. So great is your love that you sent Jesus into the world by his birth, his life, death, and wondrous resurrection. Man could be brought into the relationship with you, and this is what we celebrate, O God. I pray, O God, we pray, as we look around our world, that we would love to see people come to Christ. May your spirit move across the world. Help people to turn their eyes on you. May your spirit draw people to your word so they can read for themselves the wonder of this wondrous redeeming love that you have, the sacrifice that Jesus made, and for the wondrous hope for the future. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and obedience, responding to the Father to make this possible. We pray that during this season, many would turn to you as their Saviour. May we, your people, grow in love to others and in Jesus, so that we can be like the star in Bethlehem, drawing people to the truth of the gospel. Thank you for all that you have done and given to mankind. Let your love shine in our hearts as we live in our community here in Abbotsford, as we care for each other. Thank you for what you do in people's lives and for those who struggle, particularly those we think of here who are not well or separated from loved ones. We put them and give them at your feet to give them the comfort and strength that only you can give, O God, in our weakness. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for Jesus. Thank you for your word, for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Oops. Oh, sorry. We're now going to pray the set prayer for the day. Will you please join with me? Almighty God, you have given your only Son to take our nature upon him and as a time to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we, being born again and made by your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
For those of you who came in just a little bit later, you may have received as you came in an individual cup with a wafer in it. If you've not got one of those, just put up your hand and Stuart will bring the plate around for you to take one if you wish to partake in the Lord's Supper that we're about to do now. It's a time where we remember, we move from the birth now to the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus. And we say thank you in a token meal of remembrance together. Just again, just reminding you that there are two little pieces, two levers on the side, a clear one, which you pull back when the time comes, and I'll tell you to do that, and it'll reveal the wafer. And then there's a heavier lip, if you pull that back, and underneath that is the grape juice, and we'll drink that together. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good to meet together as we are this morning. We who come now to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on a cross. In remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we must examine ourselves and amend our lives. We must come with a repentant heart and a steadfast faith. And above all, we must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. You then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, I invite you to draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain you. But first, let us all make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things and you call everyone to account. With shame we confess the sins that we have against you in thought, word and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life to your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Strengthen us to do his will and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere, it's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Together, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Heavenly Father, we're very mindful of your presence with us, even though we cannot see you. We thank you for this opportunity to remember your great love to us in sending your Son. Together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under the table. But you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to our Saviour's command in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. Who on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed, poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please take up your cup. And if you peel off the top layer, take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. We carefully peel back the next layer. Let us drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for us, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his suffering. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Thank you for coming and gathering with us this Christmas Day. Again, from my family to your family, a most happy, holy, and safe Christmas to you. Please, if you're new or visiting us today, we meet here usually on a Sunday at 9:30 in the morning. There is a children's program that's run by our children's and family worker. Please, if you'd like to think more on the things of God and how to live life his way in this community, that's what we're on about here. And we learn from God from the Bible together. And so we want to follow Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour together. Encourage one another while we wait for his return, to pray for one another and to care for one another. And so we invite you to join us with each other. You may have heard of a morning and an evening, most mornings, most evening, the bell ringing from this church. Just a little time, not too long. And thank you for those who have sent me text messages and dropped messages in the letterbox and saying thank you. I had one lady who said, oh, it reminded me of my village back home as the bell rings in the morning and the evening. But that bell is ringing. I ring that each morning and as a reminder that I'm praying for you and for those with COVID and for, as Tina prayed, for an end to this and a virus and to be finished and a vaccine to be found. So when that rings at 8 in the mornings and at 7 in the evenings and on the morning, on a Saturday and Sunday, 9:30, so you can have a bit of a sleep in, we're praying. And if you hear it, can I encourage you just to stop, be still, think on the things of God and pray with me for that moment. We have Bible studies here as well and play group that meets during the year, and that'll all be starting back in February time. When we meet back together with most things happening in our time here at Abbotsford Anglican. Once again, happy, holy and safe Christmas. I'm going to invite our singers up. We look forward to the day when we all can sing once again. And thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you, Linda.